So we're going to get back into the Ten Commandments. So Exodus chapter 20. Thank you so much for being here. If you'll stand out of love and respect for God's word, if you're physically able, here in Exodus chapter 20, and I'll read, you follow along silently, and we're going to start in verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We've been going through the commandments here, and I hope that you've enjoyed taking a look, a little deeper look in each one of these commandments. Because listen to me, it's not just these list of ten rules that we have to follow. It's really the key to all the things that we need to know about the Christian life. If you think about it, if we can get things settled about God being our only God in our life, no other gods before him, that would solve 99% of the problems that we have in our life. If we can figure out that there should be no graven images or things that we would be tempted to bow down to and serve, because God is a jealous God. And we need to get that idea in our minds, because there's so many things that we end up making little idols in our life because we end up spending time with them, worshiping them, and they lead us astray, away from God, when our focus should be on God and God alone. We work through, as we go through the commandments here, and we talk about how we treat God. And really, that's what thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain is all about. Our attitude and our treatment of God. How we acknowledge him. How we reverence or fear him. What his name means to us. Is it casual or is it precious? Is it something that we protect or something that we just cast around like it's no big deal? You see, that's where we kind of are today in Christendom, right? Is God is just a name just thrown out there, where in the past it was a very guarded thing, to where even the scribes, when they were about to write the name of God, they had to go through certain procedures with washing themselves and changing their clothes and even getting rid of the quills that they used to write the name and start over with another one. Wow. You say, why did they go through all that? Well, because God's name is God's name. It's precious. It's holy. It's amazing. It's something not to be taken lightly or for granted. But yet today we just kind of toss it about. And really that's what that commandment is talking about. The sacredness of God. The holiness of God. It talks about the Sabbath day. The day of rest. And how important that is. I'm not going to re-preach all these things. But I'm just talking about how we either do things God's way or we do things our way. You say, well, you know, the Sabbath day is not so important. Listen, a day of rest is important. Even farmers understand this. With their fields. and giving them rest. And you know, sometimes you just don't plant anything in a field. Why? Because it needs to be replenished. Hello? That's what we need in our lives. And then we got into the those are the ones that deal with God. And then we got into the next one, number five, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You understand that our relationship with our parents is very important. Guess what? Everybody has parents. And guess what else? You didn't get to pick them. Huh? Yeah. So we got to learn how to deal with that and deal with that properly. Then we talked about thou shalt not kill, and how that applied to life as human beings here on this earth. That matters. And then we talked about thou shalt not commit adultery. And listen, that's a tough one. But let me just let you know, they deal with it carefully. But they deal with it at football camp. This thing of pornography is rampant in our world today. And we talked about that. And listen, that affects people. And listen, it doesn't just affect men. They say, the statistics say that is particularly growing amongst women. Extremely. Now listen. These are all things that have to do with our heart, with our being, with our relationship with God, with our relationship with mankind, with relationship with our wives and husbands, with relationship with our children, with relationship with our families, with relationships in our local churches. This is not just a list. This is not just a plaque that's on the wall. It's not just something etched in buildings around our country or monuments or statues and things which people are trying to tear down. It is a way of living for us who follow after God. And the same is true with number 8. Look at verse 15. Thou shalt not steal. Okay? People want to make this particular commandment simple. But can I tell you something? It's not simple. It's complex. You see, well, as long as I don't go in and rob a bank, I'm okay. Can I tell you something? Thou shalt not steal is a very deep subject. Because it doesn't just have to do with going up to somebody and holding a knife or a gun or a big stick and say, give me all your money, and you take the $8 that I have and walk away. You understand that that's not just what thou shalt not steal is about. It's not just going somewhere or maybe going into someone's home or someone's house and taking something like a television or coming over to my house and stealing one of my chickens. Maybe you're hungry. You need a chicken. You need some fast food. That means you have to catch it first. Okay. Some of you got that. It took a little while. Okay. Try catching one of the rabbits. They're faster. Anyway. But no. So it's more than just that. You know, there are many ways that we as human beings can steal and steal things. And guess what? It's not just limited to material possessions either. This commandment means exactly what it says. Thou shalt not steal. God places this commandment among the 10 to protect the rights and possessions of individuals. You know, God is the God of individuals. We believe in, as Baptists, we believe in something called individual responsibility. You know what? My relationship with God is between me and God. And God deals with me as an individual. And He deals with you as an individual. And God has this commandment in here to protect the rights and possessions of the individual. The person who steals is called a thief or a robber in the Bible. The word thief sounds worse than to steal, right? If you're called a robber or a thief, that's bad, right? Those people go to jail. I'm not a thief. I'm not a robber. I just took something that didn't belong to me. Yeah. You're a thief and a robber, okay? It's important to remember that a thief can steal or rob by taking one's material possessions. They can steal or rob by taking one's reputation. You know, if you slander someone else, guess what you're doing? You're stealing their reputation. You ever thought about that? Interesting. How about this? You can steal another person's glory or honor. You know, the Bible warns us not to steal God's glory. In God's Word, there are several other ways a person can steal from one another. We're going to talk about some of those tonight. But before we look at these main thoughts, we want to consider what the Scripture says about stealing. In Ephesians 4:28, it says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." Leviticus 19:11 says, "Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another." In Exodus 22:7, the Bible says, "If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief be found, let him pay double." So there are rules and things that are said about stealing and about thievery, theft, if you will, and that we need to pay attention to in all areas of life. First of all, stealing is taking an object or something that is not yours. To the average person, one who steals much is a thief. But one who takes only a little is just doing what everybody else does. Come on now. I do not do this on purpose. And I've found myself doing this less and less. But how many of you have ever been a pen thief? Come on now. Huh? You don't intend to do it, right? But you say to someone, "May I borrow that pen?" Right? And you borrow the pen and you use it, and then what do? It's kind of a habit, you know? And listen, I promise, I've never intentionally stolen a pen, as far as I know. But I've accidentally stolen many pens over my lifetime. I'll get to home and I'll look at my suit pocket and I'm like, "Oh, that's a nice pen. Well, that's Brother So-and-so's pen. I need to give that back to him." But you know, but you say, well, we kind of tongue in cheek, that's not really stealing. Well, yeah, it is. People just get down to it. Whether or not you meant to do it. I mean, how many of you have been in a position where you maybe broke something you didn't mean to do, but you still broke it? You know, my mom and dad, they taught me, if you break it, you buy it. It doesn't matter if it's an accident. And you know, that's kind of gone away in retail these days, hasn't it? I mean, it used to be that you'd actually pay for the thing that you broke. Even if you were in a store and you turned around and bumped the table and a plate broke on the ground. People used to pay for that kind of stuff. Because they did it. But nowadays, it's somebody else's fault. "Oh, they shouldn't have put that there. I'm not paying for that." That's the attitude today of people. So you understand I just took a few extra office supplies home from work. That's no big deal. Everybody takes home paper clips. Everybody takes home pencils. Everybody, they're just laying out there. I mean, is it stealing or not? Bottom line, let's just get honest. You say, "Well, those are just little things." Can I remind you of a Bible verse? Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him a place. Why don't you just be honest about everything?
Why don't you just do what the Bible says? Let him that stole steal no more. I'm not condemning you or indicting you today. I just want you to understand the gravity of one of these commandments. The value of an object or the amount of money taken makes absolutely no difference. Because it's not about the value of the item. Oh, it's okay to steal a dollar, but it's not okay to steal $100. I don't have $100, so I'll just have a dollar. I think my wife took the $100 that I had in here. She didn't. It's just a dollar. If we have that attitude, the devil is winning a victory in our life. Think about it. What does that mean? To steal, the value doesn't matter. One steals and is a thief when he takes something that is not his, regardless of the value. It is the act that makes one a thief, not the value. Listen to me. It's easy to take something that you want to have. You know, it's pretty easy to do that. And guess what? The devil will make sure you have plenty of opportunities to do it. You'll look around, and there'll be nobody there, and be like, "He shouldn't have left that there. Come on now." So we've got to understand the mentality of thou shalt not steal. Parents who allow their children to eat a candy bar or an item in the store and do not pay for it, you're stealing. And not only that, you're teaching your children to steal. How many times have you been to Walmart and you've walked, Brother Herschel, he's there at Walmart every day. Poor guy. But how many times have you been to Walmart and you've walked down an aisle and you've seen a wrapper of something on the shelf? Somebody came in, ate something, put it back on the shelf and walked out the door and didn't pay for it. My wife told me a story. One of our kids, were you at like a Michael's or Hobby Lobby or something like that? She was focused on you know, getting the things on the conveyor belt. And she turned around and one of our girls, I don't remember who? Alyssa? Oh, poor Alyssa. She was like two. Yeah, she was like, what, me? I didn't do anything. She's sitting there munching on a Dove chocolate bar. I remember my first theft. I remember my first. How many of you remember your first theft? Come on, amen. Brock's root beer barrel. Huh? Remember the Brock's candies that they had at the supermarket? And they had them in the big boxes there. The bulk candy, you're supposed to put it in a bag and weigh it and pay for whatever. Y'all remember, do they still do that? I don't know. I have no idea. Probably not. I went in the store with my mom. I was probably 4 or 5 years old or whatever. And I just thought it was free samples. You know, so I got me a root beer barrel. And I put it in my pocket. And we got out to the car. And I get in the back seat. And I'm opening the root beer barrel. I pop it in my mouth. And my mom's like, "Where'd you get that?" I said, "It was in the store." I said, "It was in the..." She goes, "You can't do that." I'm like, "Why not?" Can I quote to you what the military tells us? Ignorance is no excuse. Was it mine? No. Did I take it? Yes. Guess what? Thief. Thief. At least I wasn't a thief and a liar at that point. I was an honest thief, okay? But you know what she did? She took me by the hand. She made me go back in that store. She found the manager. She told the manager what happened, and she made me apologize to that manager and pay him for that candy. That's the right thing to do. And how many times have you gone through the checkout and the lady gave you too much change? And you're like, "Praise God! I just got an extra $10. You know what I've done? I've gone and given it back, and they said, you know what, just keep it. Now, that's not theft. Because I tried to give it back to them, and they didn't want it. But if I had just kept it, listen, that's not something I should do. And there's been many times where the people, because sometimes these people, these waitresses or these people that give out change, it comes out of their pocket. If their till is wrong at the end of the night, it's on them, and they pay for that mistake. So you know what you've done? You've stolen from that person. You ought to make it right. So it's our attitude. The neighbor boy, they comes over and leaves a toy or something in her yard, and you just pick it up and put it with all your other belongings. Well, it's not yours. You said, well, you shouldn't have left it there. Well, give it back to him. This one was funny. You see someone drop some money on the ground. And you just pick it up and say, well, God blessed me with a $20 bill. Now listen, I've found money before. I was soul winning one day. And we were in a subdivision, and I'm walking down the street, and there was something blowing down the street. And I thought it was just a piece of paper or something like that. It ended up being a $50 bill. But there's nobody else there. So who am I supposed to give it back to? I don't know. I guess I could go knock on every door and say, did you lose $50? I guess I could have done that. But I put it in the offering, so I guess that matters. But listen to me. But if you see someone drop the money, it's their money. Give it back to them. If you're driving down the road and you're following an armored truck and bags of money start falling out the back of it. Woo! Glory to God, right? I just got the mortgage payment for a year. No, you shouldn't do that. Do you see the attitude aspect, the mentality aspect that I'm trying to draw out of this stuff? Now listen, I know some of these illustrations seem a little bit silly. Or you say, Pastor, is that really stealing? Listen, folks, it's about our heart. It's about our way of thinking. And the world has a finder's keeper's mentality. And can I tell you, it's not that way. That's not God's way. Another area that we can steal is someone who makes a promise to pay and does not. Remember the story about, it's an odd story. I don't even know all the studying I've ever done if I really understand Judges 17 and this guy Micah who was a Levite. Very strange story. Some of you are, huh? Oh, Sunday school. Isn't it an odd story? It's just like, so if you don't know what I'm talking about, just go, it's just a weird story. But here's what it says at the beginning of it in Judges 17. It says, and there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah, and he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver, that's a lot of silver, that were taken from thee, about which thou cursedest. So she was upset about it. Okay, we'll just take it that way. All right? And it says, and spakest also, in mine ears. So his mom had 1,100 shekels of silver stolen from her. And this is how we're introduced to this man. And it says here, it says, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. Yeah, just a strange story. It says, and his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. Now, why does she say that? Because he stole the money? No, because he owned up to it. Right? He admitted to it. So we understand that these things. And so it says when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother's, his mother said, I had wholly dedicated silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son. And so it goes on and talks about making graven images, which is against the Ten Commandments also. So again, it's a strange story. But do you understand that he was blessed not because he stole the money, but because he owned up to it. Remember how Ananias and Sapphira promised to give something, and it wasn't really that, was it? It was a facade. It was fake. It wasn't real. And they were told that they had lied to the Holy Ghost, and God killed them for it. The Bible tells us that when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, and thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. This doesn't just have to do with borrowing money or saying you're going to pay something back or whatever. It has to do with keeping our promises and things like that. Listen, I've had times where I've said I was going to do something and I didn't do it. You know what that is? That's stealing. And we ought to be sorry for that. You say, but you know, it never really was theirs. Well, but yeah, you made a promise. If we don't keep our promises to pay, we're thieves. We're robbers. God expects us to keep our promises. Guess what God does?
Keeps his promises.
Doesn't he? And doesn't God say about God that he's a debtor to no man? And that's how it is. You understand that the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, Paul was talking about our word. He says, when I was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purposed, do I a purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. If a debt or a vow promised to be paid by a certain time, should be paid when it's due. For if it's not possible to pay on the promised date, then you need to go and make that right. Remember the parable, another strange parable about the unjust steward? Okay, do you understand? All these fall in line with this commandment of thou shalt not steal. If you can't pay, then show up. Make arrangements. Do what you can. And guess what? Your hand, or your life is in the hand of that person that you owe the money to. What they decide to do with you. In Proverbs 22:7, Solomon said, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. It's true. In another area, sometimes we steal in is not earning our salary. Now, I know I'm getting a little touchy for some people. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you yourselves or you know of somebody that doesn't do the work that they're getting paid for? Huh? What are they doing to that boss or employer? Stealing. You know, I can look busy and be doing absolutely nothing. Right? Huh? Or, oh, it's in my office. Good. Gotta file these papers. Done. Okay. You see, that's not theft. It is theft. You know what God expects from us? Our best. He expects 100% effort. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect to persons with him. If you're getting paid for 8 hours of work, do 8 hours of work. Hey, Dr. Smith, who will be here with us next week, he always said, his dad said to him as a young man, he said, son, if you always work harder than what you're getting paid for, you'll always have a job. See, they don't deserve it. As unto Christ and not unto men. That's the philosophy. You know what? We need to do our part. And we need to do all that we're supposed to do. Another way we steal is when we lie about the value of something to get more than it's worth. Or we lie to get it cheaper than it really is worth. You say, what's the key there? Lying, deception, manipulation, deceit. You say, none of those things are good things. So when it's associated with this, it's theft. Proverbs 20, verse 14, it is not, saith the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. How many of you ever dealt with a used car salesman? That is theft. God's not going to bless that. I'm not talking about being shrewd or getting a good deal. We're talking about going beyond that and being deceptive. That's thievery. That's theft. One who borrows when he knows he cannot repay. You know, there's something about our society today. Credit is easy. It is. You know, people just want to get, remember, you know, no credit checks. You know, buy a car here, right? What's that commercial they have, you know? No money, no car, no problem. No money, no credit, no problem, right? We'll sell you a car. What? How does that work? We have a problem in America of living within our means, or if you will, living below what we're able to do. We always want to just stretch the limit. Want to have things that we can't afford. You know what's driving that? Our flesh. You know, a lot of us can live on a lot less than we live on right now. We can. If we really had to, we can. There's a lot of extra things in our lives that we just don't need. And some people, unfortunately, they'll get a credit card and they'll just... On the radio last week, I think I heard a half a dozen commercials about government programs that can help reduce your debt. Why? It's my debt. I should reduce my debt. Why is the government reducing my debt? You know, this thing about the student loans that went on in our government. It's like, you borrowed the money to go to school. I can't help it if they don't have a job in your field. They told you that before you took the class. And you wanted to, I want to be this anyway, so I'm going to take, but there's no jobs. Okay. But you signed the contract. Pay the money back. Anyways, that's a soapbox. Remember the parable that Jesus told about the man who owed 10,000 talents? What I want to know is, how did he get that far in debt in the first place? Amen. It can be. But you know what? He was forgiven. And then a guy owed him a couple of dollars. And he had him thrown in jail. You know, it's just about our attitude. We need to understand that we should never buy anything that we can't pay for. Well, I'm thankful my mom and dad taught me this, and thankfully I've been able to handle it. But most people ought not to have a credit card. Unless you can control that thing, because guess what? Pretty soon it'll control you. But you know what? Right now we have the opportunity to use all the benefits of the credit card system, which I'm for. But guess what? I hate paying. I hate paying interest, and I refuse to. So guess what? We use our credit card, but that amount is budgeted, and when the bill comes in, it all gets paid. And I get the points. And every once in a while, I get to give my wife a couple of gift cards. You notice I said that. Gentlemen, pay attention. Okay? I don't get the ones to Cabela's, or, you know, I get the ones to Whole Foods and Boot Barn and whatever it's called. I don't know. Whatever you shop at. Dress Barn, I'm not sure. Whatever. Yeah. But no, don't borrow something and you know you're not going to be able to repay. And then one that, of course, you know about in Malachi chapter 3 is stealing when you don't give to God what's His. A lot of people don't like this, but the tithe is not just the evil Baptist preacher's revenge on people. No, the tithe is the Lord's. It's not a Baptist made-up doctrine. It's in the Word of God. It's something that we need to be aware of. God says, the tithe is mine. I give you everything, and I want 10% back. In Malachi 3, it says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Ye have not robbed me. Yet ye have not robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Can I say something to you today? It's still true. I'm thankful that I learned this lesson very early in life. You know what? God always gets His. And He should. And you ought to be willingly giving it to Him. You know, because the God, we don't give it out of necessity, but God loveth a cheerful giver. We ought to want to give God what's His. And don't steal from God. Don't try to steal from God. Guess what? It won't turn out well. So this thing of thou shalt not steal. And I could go on, but I'm not going to because I'm already over time. But I hope you understand that in all of these things that were mentioned tonight, they all link themselves through Scripture to this principle and this commandment. Thou shalt not steal. Moms and dads, we would do well to learn this. Grandmas and grandpas, we would do well to learn this, but to pass it on to the next generation. Even in the little things. Even in some of those little silly illustrations that I gave out. You know what? Those things, if we build those up, they'll be foundations of principle and character in the life of our young people. It's funny, they remember those things. They notice those things. And we ought to pay attention to them ourselves.